Premier Alan Windey is with us after yet another of the weekly briefings about COVID-19. Hello, Alan.
Hello, John. Have you got to do your hair the same way as Carl does his to go into the studio?
Thank goodness they didn't set that criterion for me. The major theme of today's briefing, picking up on the incident at Tin Roof, the number of people now reported positive as having been there at the same time as a COVID-19 positive person is growing. What's it now? Over 80?
Yeah, it's the last number I had was 73 before I went to go and listen to the president. So, yeah, it's growing. It was 69 this morning, and then it got up to 73. So, yeah, it's a cross triangulation.
And it is something that we're wrestling with, and we're not alone in this. COVID fatigue is very, very real. Our lives have been completely turned around. We haven't been able to do the things that give us a sense of identity, a sense of familial comfort. We haven't been able to greet our friends and be with the friends the way we want to. So COVID fatigue is very, very understandable, but it's also very, very dangerous.
Absolutely. I saw it in our own cabinet board that we had the other day, looking at our recovery and focusing on jobs and dignity, well-being, and of course safety. And what I'd done is I'd said, now I need more of the top management and the cabinet to be in the room. And so we sort of split it 50-50 online and in the room. And so suddenly there were more people in the room looking at each other in the eyes, even though we were social distanced. And you could see it was harder to get everyone to get onto the topic after tea because people were missing just talking to each other and conversing. And you can feel it. There is that fatigue. But as you say, this is definitely not over. And we surely must take learnings from what's happening in the Northern Hemisphere. And when you let your guard down, then what happens is we see increases in numbers. And, I mean, what we're seeing not only in the southern suburbs, we're also seeing in the western region of the city as well, and, of course, in Beaufort West, in Matsikama, and in Oudtshoorn. We're still seeing numbers going up, although the general trend is down. And I think what happens is people are just getting more relaxed and they're getting sick and tired of, you know, keeping their masks on and the social distancing. And this just goes to show that it is so easy to slip back. It is so easy for this virus to take hold again. I mean, just a statistic now with younger people, 2 weeks ago, we were sitting at 14% of the total cases in the southern and western region. 14% were 15 to 25 year olds. And 2 weeks later, that's gone up to 35% of 15 to 25 year olds. And we know that that's specifically driven by matriculants who finished their mock exams and now want to let their hair down for a couple of days before they get stuck into studying for the matric exams. And suddenly you see a spike.
Yeah, I don't want to be seen or be heard to be saying, don't worry about them, they're young, they're going to recover. But the reality is that most do. But there is always a danger that that young, healthy person who's only going to be mildly symptomatic or asymptomatic is going to infect somebody who has a bad experience, either ending up with long version COVID or ending up with a death certificate. But, I mean, as long as the numbers of people in hospital, that's, for me, remains, Alan, the key thing to look at. And I was just looking at the latest stats from your office. We're still just above 500 in terms of number of people in hospital. And we're still, you know, moving between 108 and 150 in terms of the number of people in ICU. And that's what we've got to watch like a hawk.
And the death numbers, those the three numbers that I watch are the two that you just mentioned. And, you know, we are still losing people. This has not gone away. And
three last night, and more than that died on our roads in the last 24 hours.
Sure. And it's four and then three and then one and then 15. And then, but it's still a number that I watch because those are definite numbers. And it's still not going away. But you know, all of this, and you mentioned about young people, and sure, their risk is very low, actually. But they become the spreader. And, I mean, this event is seen as a spreader event. And what I'm most concerned about, and that is that we end up with getting a second wave, and our economy cannot afford further, even if it's smaller lockdowns, which we're trying to work towards in the next round of regulations so that we can end this disaster, that we actually have control measures to slow it down. But the last thing our economy can afford is to have further lockdowns or you know, increasing the or bringing back curfews, et cetera, et cetera. We've lost 321,000 jobs. We can't lose any more. We've got to claw those jobs back. So, you know, these all have implications, and you know, that we're trying to attract international visitors to come back, and so we've got to show them that we can responsibly manage, you know, our restaurants and our bars, and that they don't become spreader events. So that's why the responsibility of businesses as well as citizens is so paramount right now as we're coming off our first wave, and hopefully we only have one wave, because we do put all of those mechanisms in place along with the responsibilities to, you know, curtail any further major spreading that then starts putting us on a different map in the world, the way that they look at us.
You mentioned the president's speech, and one of the things he said is that there will soon be published a longer list of countries whose citizens are entitled to visit South Africa. We don't know what new names are going to be on the list. We don't know if the conditionality around their arriving is going to change in any way. And then also with a very specific Cape Town focus, he mentioned that in the next 6 months, a lot of money was going to be spent on repairing and refurbishing the central line. Generally, what was your response to the speech?
Well, I mean, I was looking for more urgency and more, he was saying the right things. But I needed more. I mean, the central line was part of the State of the Nation address. Since the State of the Nation address, a lot more people now live on the central line. This is not a quick fix. I need more urgency, and hopefully we can build that in the province. Infrastructure is what we've got to do, but we know that we've also got some serious cuts. For us, and I'm going to say that next week is about making serious choices with the reduced budget that we've got that give us the biggest impact. And we have to focus. We have to really focus, and we can't stop managing COVID-19, but we've got to move our focus to jobs, to safety, so that we can start getting those jobs back in an economy going again. We've got to build business confidence. The business confidence is still rock bottom.
With all due respect, says one of my listeners, Alan, we've lost 321,000 jobs and we want to claw them back, but the city makes it so difficult for hawkers' licenses and taxi permits. All the red tape is not helping the economy. The allegation is directed at the city, of which you are not the political leader, but you do share a political party with the leadership of the city.
Correct, and I agree absolutely. We've got to make it easier to do business. We got things right during COVID-19. We had so many learnings. If I'd said beforehand that we're going to be stopping queuing at our hospitals for elderly people and people with comorbidities, and we're going to do it in the next few months, and we're going to deliver their medicines to their homes, it would never have happened. But we've managed to get it right. So how do we use that same urgency to making sure that we really do deal with the red tape? I mean, red tape's been one of my babies for a long time. So definitely, please still use me, alan.windy@westerncape.gov.za. Give me your ideas. I engage with the mayor on a weekly basis to say, listen, these things are still blockages. We've got to make it easier. I know that they're talking about red tape reduction, but we've got to get the actual things to happen. And then show people that this is how it is getting easier. So it doesn't matter that the city, you can still send it to me.
Premier Alan Windy, thank you very much for talking to us.